3, 2, 1. Welcome back to the Bushnell Project as we continue to encourage one another to be reading God's Word, to be prayerfully reading God's Word and asking the Holy Spirit for guidance as we read. And we are in Judges, and now we're up to chapter 8, still on the story of Gideon, as we get some more details about this last battle and the pursuit he has of the kings of Midian. So they've captured the two princes, but there are still two kings and 15,000 men out of the 120,000 men they still got to take care of. So let's jump into chapter 8 and see where we go. Then the men of Ephraim said to him, "What is this that you have done to us, not to call us when you went to fight against Midian?" And they accused him fiercely. And he said to them, "What I have done now in comparison with you, what have I done now in comparison with you? Is not the gleaning of the grapes of Ephraim better than the grape harvest of Abizar? God has given into your hands the princes of Midian, Oreb, and Zeb. What have I been able to do in comparison with you?" Then their anger against him subsided when he said this. All right, well, I think I'll stop there because I forgot about this part. I got so excited about the rest of the battle. So here, they're in the middle of the battle, and they're upset, the Ephraims are, the men of Ephraim, one of the tribes of Israel. And how Gideon deals with them is really pretty wise, that they may have every reason to be upset, but he's like, "Hey, you guys got you got Oreb and Zeb. I mean, how awesome is that? You guys have all the bragging rights." And this does settle them down. So that's a good lesson for us to learn just from that. All right, so now we'll continue on verse 4. And Gideon came to the Jordan and crossed over. He and the 300 men who were with him, exhausted yet pursuing. So he said to the men of Succoth, "Please give loaves of bread to the people who follow me, for they are exhausted, and I am pursuing after Zeba and Zalmunna, the kings of Media." And the officials of Succoth said, "Are the hands of Zeba and Zalmunna already in your hand, that we should give bread to your army?" So Gideon said, "Well then, when the Lord has given Zeba and Zalmunna into my hand, I will flail your flesh with the thorns of the wilderness and with briars." And from there he went up to Penuel and spoke to them in the same way. And the men of Penuel answered him as the men of Succoth had answered. And he said to the men of Penuel, "When I come again in peace, I will break down this tower." Now Zeba and Zalmunna were in Karkor with their army, about 15,000 men, all who were left of the army of the people of the east, for there had fallen 120,000 men who drew the sword. And Gideon went up by the way of the tent dwellers east of Nobah, and Jogbehah, and attacked the army, for the army felt secure. And Zeba and Zalmunna fled, and he pursued them and captured the two kings of Midian, Zeba and Zalmunna, and he threw all the army into a panic. All right, so we're going to stop there because it's just getting long. but we got 12 verses done. So to go back, they're in pursuit. They've crossed over the Jordan, and they're moving up through these other two areas, and I'm trying to see, these are, in the area of Gad and Manasseh, so two of the tribes of Israel. So they're going through two of their own tribes, although remember, not all the towns and cities have been fully captured, and they get some resistance. It's like, okay, you're 300, but an army of 15,000 just came through, so unless you really have won this battle, we kind of sort of would like to reserve the right to feed you. And what I learned from this, just a leadership principle, if you will, is that even when you are winning and moving forward, there are going to be doubters. There are going to be people who think that you're not going to succeed. You can't, you're not going to finish this. The other is greater than you, so on and so forth. So whether this is in life and business and sports, in war, as it is here, there are those who really, they look at strength totally from a human perspective and have no spiritual vision. They have no real spiritual reality, if you will, of being able to see that God is at work here and God is going to finish what he started. And if I want to be on God's side, I better get on God's side. So here, the leadership of this town, these two towns, are not jumping on God's side. They don't seem, one, to like Gideon. They are looking at these two kings that have already fled through their area with 15,000 men, who came by way of them probably with, what, 135,000 men? But now they're going back with 15,000 men. And they're looking at Gideon and his 300. And yes, we would have to assume there were more men with him at this point that had joined. But the 300 are very tired, and the 300 are the ones that Gideon himself is asking for the bread. And they're like, okay, let's see, 15,000 versus 300. Yeah, no, we're going to reserve our right to feed you until you can confirm you have actually won this battle. I think that many Christians tend to do that in our day-to-day life. We see something happening, we put on our worldly eyes, and we examine and come to our own conclusions that way, instead of going, hey, Lord, help me understand what's going on. Help me understand what you're doing right now, right here, and how do you want me to join you in what you're doing? And so one of the ways is to be in his word, is to be in prayer. So you're praying for the things in your own community and the people in your own community and what's going on in your own community. And then in the larger community, whether that's your county, your state, your country, those kind of things. And to realize that God is not blind to anything that's happening, but through our conversations with God, through our prayer with God, he gives us wisdom. He enlightens our heart. He gives us peace. He helps us to stay focused on the great joy that we have, that we are his, and that he does work out everything for those who love him. And that does not mean he works out everything so we can have a very comfortable life. He works out all things to the end. And in the midst of all that, we can have a peace and a joy, even though it can be very, very chaotic, as it is right here in Israel at this time, because Israel has not been worshiping God as they should. And I would say that most Americans who call themselves Christians are probably not really worshiping God as they should. Doesn't mean they're not Christians. It doesn't mean that God's not about to turn their hearts back to him, but we just got to face the truth. We seem to be a distracted people. So let's not be distracted. Let's keep pressing on. Let's be like Gideon and his men, and let's not be like the leaders of these two towns that Gideon is just trying to get bread from to feed his small army. God bless you. Talk to you soon.